Welcome to the February 24th, 2008 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled Grander Vision Living. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. My name is Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Students and Families, and we are so pleased that you have decided to join us for worship this morning. We would like to find out everybody that was here. We have a way of doing that. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite everybody, members and guests alike, to take that, put your name and check the appropriate boxes and give us your contact information. That would help us if you'd send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. When it gets to the end of the pew, if you could send it back to where it started. Members, when it comes back by you, this is a good opportunity to find out the names of the guests that are on your pew and greet them at the end of the service. What we do ask is when it gets back to the beginning, if the first person who signed it, if you rip out the pages so our ushers can get that, that would be very helpful. Gary Elkins, come on, man.
Good morning. My name is Gary Elkins. For those of y'all that might not know me, and I hadn't been up here in a while to talk about Team I Am, but I got a Team I Am announcement to make this morning. For those of y'all who may not be familiar with Team I Am, real quickly, in the Southern Baptist Convention, in the CBF across the state of North Carolina, there's a thing called Operation Inasmuch that a lot of churches do. It takes its name from the verse in the Bible where Jesus says, "Inasmuch as you have done it for one of these, you've done it unto me." And we've been doing Operation Inasmuch here at College Park for a couple of years, and we just refer to it as Team I Am. And I just refer to it as our neighborhood outreach ministry, because what we do is we go out in the neighborhoods within a 2 or 3 mile diameter or circumference of the church and look for projects that we can do for folks who need things done to their homes and they have neither the physical ability or the physical health or the resources to do them themselves. So that's what we're all about. I want everybody to put down on their calendar, our next Team I Am Day is going to be April the 19th. So it's a couple of months away, plenty of notice for everybody. It's the third Saturday in April. Hopefully we got all the conflicts out of the way. Basketball season's over, school break's over, Easter is over. So hopefully it'll be a good day. Now let me tell you why we're doing it on April the 19th. This Operation Inasmuch across the state has been a thing that just a few churches have been doing. I think we're one of the first ones, if not the only one of this area doing it. I don't know anybody else doing it. But it's become more of a push from the state convention. And particularly here in our area, the PMBA, the Pilot Mountain Baptist Association, is really pushing Operation Inasmuch this year. They're encouraging churches to start a Team I Am or an Operation Inasmuch team or committee. And they're holding seminars at PMBA headquarters on Long Drive and to teach people how to do it or teach churches how to do it. And the big day is April 19th. And what they're asking everyone to do is to have a Team I Am or Operation Inasmuch Day on that day, April 19th. It's a PMBA designated day. So, you know, we're going to be doing it anyway, so we're going to point towards that day. So please put that day down on your calendar. One other thing I'll tell you about this is, in the past, those of y'all who have worked with us, you know, we've gone to a job site and at a particular place and worked at that job site all day, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and the next week. So, we're trying not going to do that this year. We're going to pick out jobs that we can finish in a day. But so this year on April 19th, what we're going to do is we are going to try and identify 3 or 4 different jobs we can do, things we can do. It'll give you an opportunity to do what you want to do. We'll send teams out to these 3 or 4 different places, and I don't know where those places might be. We've got scout team working on that right now to identify the families or individuals we're going to help. However, and this leads up to the main point I want to make today in addition to telling y'all about the date, one thing we've decided to do, it's a little bit of a wrinkle, we are going to have a clothing giveaway that day here at the church. So that's something if you are not able to do the physical work that we have to do at some of these job sites or don't want to do it, but a clothing, you know, helping with a clothing giveaway is something that you want to do or would like to do more, then that's something that you could help with. But we're going to have a clothing giveaway as one of our activities that day. We'll do it out of Smith Hall. And in addition to giving the clothes away to needy families and people that need them, one thing we're going to do is we're going to have someone or some people designated. As people are leaving with their clothes, we're going to ask them where they live and if they have things that they need doing around their home. And that way, that might give us some potential leads for further projects for people who live in this area. So having said that, what I want to tell you is if you're somebody like me who have a designated place, I clean my clothes out periodically and take them to the prison. Prison ministry has a clothing closet. I know a lot of people take them to Goodwill. Don't take your clothes anywhere for the next couple of months. Save them. Be cleaning your closets out and save them to bring here. So don't take them anywhere else. And we'll be making this announcement in the newsletter, and I'll make a couple of more announcements as the weeks go on leading up to April the 19th. But start cleaning out your closets and saving your clothes. And one other thing I would ask you is if you got a pile of clothes, don't call the church office tomorrow wanting to know what to do with them. We haven't worked those logistics out yet about collecting the clothes and sorting them. We're working on that. And we'll be meeting again over the next week or two about that. And then as soon as we have those logistics worked out about when and where to bring the clothes and who to give them to and yada, 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 we'll make that known to everyone. But right now, just put April 19th down on your calendar. Start cleaning your clothes out. Be ready to bring them up here for the clothing drive when we tell you when to do that. And if you have any questions at all, you can ask, you can ask me. You can ask Barbie Morgan, Ann Chapman, Bob Doty. I appreciate it and hope to see everyone on April the 19th. Thanks.
Thank you, Gary. Well, we are a very mission-minded church, and thinking about that, this past week our GAs hosted a children's ministry day, a shower for you to provide things for the Second Harvest Food Bank, and it was a great success. The GAs deserve a huge thank you for what they did, and they wanted me to pass on the numbers from what they was collected. They were able to donate almost 2,000 diapers, 100 jars of infant food, 48 boxes of infant cereal, 16 little graduate items for toddlers, 17 cans of formula, and 6 containers of juice. The girls were thrilled to see all their hard work to come and for you guys to support and to provide those kinds of things. And we are thankful for the GAs and for Laura and for Angie and all the people that work so hard to make that happen. That's a huge thing. And we thank the ladies for doing that for us. We are in the middle of Walk Across the Room, which is our Sunday morning and Sunday evening emphasis. And we have also materials for the midweek Bible studies. There is a book that goes, a companion book that goes along with the study. There are only a few available. So if you're interested in getting one of these books called Walk Across the Room, make sure that you see one of the staff and we can get that for you. You may have noticed we are in the middle of a process of getting a new security system here in the church, and we're kind of in the middle of that, and we've changed keys and the security system's not ready, and it's very confusing right now. So if you're needing access to the church, there are new keys that you need to get. These will be temporary keys, so you need to come by the church office and talk to Gail. They will be temporary only for the next couple of weeks until the security system is operational. So if you need keys, come to see Gail in the office, and please be patient with her and with the staff, because we're kind of at ADT's whim. When they're ready to turn it on, we'll turn it on. So we're kind of waiting for around them. So thank you for your patience with that. We are having children's time for our kids today. Raymond's going to be down front, so we will make sure you come down and to see him during children's time. It is time for us to begin in worship, and we want to say a welcome to our guests. You have heard about things that are going on in the life of our church. You've given us your information already in the pew pads. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles. We'd like for you to raise your hand if you're a guest with us. This packet of information that we'd like to give to you has a letter from our church. from our pastor, as well as a newsletter from our church and other information about the history of our fellowship. And we ask that you just take this and get to know a little bit more about College Park. And we feel that worship is the best way for you to find out who we are, because it's so vital to the people of College Park. And that's what we're going to do right now. You will find in your bulletin an invitation to share in worship. This is a responsive reading that signals the beginning of our time of worship together. This morning comes from Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3 and verses 6 through 7. I invite you to stand now. Please read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care.
You may be seated. Will you pray with me? God, we confess that when we watch our children lead us in worship, how proud it makes us feel to see them tell the truth to the world. Now is the time to worship. And the beauty of that song, and in the smiles of the faces of the children. I wonder this morning, Father, if we, your children, if you're proud of us, when you look down at us, we want you to smile and be pleased with us. You want our worship to be genuine and honest. You want this time of worship to be active, where we give our lives to you. We want you to be honored and blessed in this hour of worship. So come into this place. We invite you to be among us. We want you here. We need you here. Because it's only in your presence that everything else makes sense. And we love you for that. And so much more. In Christ's name. Amen.
Invite all the children, if you would come down at this time. How y'all doing? Y'all sang really nice. It was very pretty. Very pretty. We've got them coming out of the balcony, so we'll wait just a minute. Do you remember what we talked about last week? For those of you that were here, do you remember? Do you? You weren't in here. You're not sure. Okay. William, you're nodding your head. Do you remember what we talked about? What did we talk about? Okay, your story, right? I gave you M&Ms. Why did I give you M&Ms? Do you remember? Yes, if you got bored in the sermon, you could eat them. How many of you ate them during the sermon? Okay, did you share with the people on your row? They didn't want any. Okay. Well, okay. All right. But do you remember why I gave you M&Ms other than to eat during the sermon if you got bored? They're all gone? I know what you mean. If you remember, it was because I had a training union teacher, you remember? And what'd she do? That's right. That's right. Every time she told us a Bible story, she gave us a pack of M&Ms. And we sat there and ate M&Ms and she told us the story. Okay? And I remember a lot of those stories, not because of the M&Ms, but because they were stories and they were about people. And I challenged you to think about your story, to think about your life so far. You know, what's happened in your life that you could tell a friend? What are the good things about church and family and learning about God that you could share with a friend? So I hope that you've done that. I'm not going to give you a test this morning, okay? So that's the good news. No test, all right? But I want you to keep thinking about that. And as I was thinking about stories, a couple weeks ago in the big sermon, you know, we talked about lost things. Do you remember that? Things that were lost, and I made reference to Luke chapter 15. And in that book of the Bible, Jesus tells three stories. He talks about some lost sheep. Do you remember that? A lost sheep. There were 99. There were 101 wanders off. Do you remember that story from the Bible? Okay. Then right after that, he tells the story about a lost coin. And I want to read that to you. It's a real short story, but it's really good. It says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. She has only 10 coins to her whole name. That's all the money she has. And she loses one. What do you think she's going to do? She's going to look for it, sure. The Bible says she searched night and day, swept the house, and carefully searched until she finds it. And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, be happy with me, because I'd lost the coin and now I found it. And then here's the verse I want you to notice. In the same way, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. Now, what is it about that coin? Why did she look for it? Yes, ma'am. That's right. She only had a few and she lost one. So that one really mattered to her, right? The one coin really mattered. And what I want you to remember is that you really matter to God. The Bible says you matter so much to God that He sent His only Son for you. For you. That's how much you matter to God. And I want you to be able to tell that to other friends, okay? Whenever someone's thinking that, oh, they're so bummed out about this or that or the other, and they just don't know what, I want you to be able to tell them, you really matter to God. You really matter to God, okay? And I want to give you something to help you remember that. I have here this is a treasure chest. I know it says just for kids, moist wipes, but it's really a treasure chest. And in there, it's all these gold coins. Now, I know the story said silver, but we've adjusted for inflation, okay? These are gold coins. They're not real gold, but they look gold, don't they? They look gold. And on it says what? Luke 15. And so anytime you give one of these to a friend, I want you to tell them to go look at the story about the coin, the lost coin in Luke 15, and you'd be glad to talk with them about it, okay? Can you do that? Now, here's the deal I'm going to make with you. I'm going to give you two coins. But if I give you $2, these are little gold dollars, if I give you two, then you've got to promise me that you're going to give one of those away and that you're going to tell the story about the lost coin when you give it away. Will you do that? You promise? Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to have a prayer and ask God to help us to tell our story. And then I'm going to let you take two coins from here before you go back to your seat. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear Father, we thank You for this day and we thank You for these children. And Father, we pray that You would give them the joy, Father, and just the happiness that You give us to tell our story. And we pray that You would help them to understand just how much You matter, that they matter to You, and how much their friends matter to You. And Father, we pray that You would give them an opportunity this week to give a coin to a friend and tell him just how much You love them. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Thank you. Take two. They all look just alike. There you go. two? Did you get two?
As we worship and submit ourselves to the Lord, it is appropriate for us to confess our sins and seek forgiveness for those sins. In your order of worship is printed a prayer of confession, and I ask that you share that prayer with me responsibly. God of everlasting love, we confess that we have been unfaithful to our covenant with you and with one another. We have worshipped other gods, money, power, greed, and convenience. We have served our own self-interest instead of serving you and others. We have not loved our neighbors as you have commanded, nor have we rightly loved ourselves. Forgive us, gracious God, and bring us back into the fullness of our covenant with you and one another. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And as an assurance of the forgiveness that is available for our sins, a word from the book of Romans and the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans from chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. This is an assurance of our pardon, and this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me, please. Father God, by your grace you have gathered us to study your word and be your church. Grant us your grace and give us a steadfast faith. Empower us with your Holy Spirit and cleanse our hands and hearts that we might come into your holy presence. Help us to embrace our story and share it with someone across the room, realizing that across the room may be someone sitting next to us or in front of us this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to return some gifts to you that you've blessed us with. It is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Wow. It's beautiful, isn't it? Let me go back to the story I was telling the children when they were singing, calling, O sinner, come home. I was reminded of the verse I'd read to the children. It says, in the same way I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You want a translation on that? There's a party in heaven. Amen. It's true. Today is the end of our four-week journey, if you will, the formal journey that we've been on. 3 weeks ago, we kind of started with this just walk across the room. And we talked about a new paradigm and then went back and looked and discovered that actually God kind of set the whole paradigm in place. So it's nothing really new about it. But we were given an opportunity to kind of ask the question, you know, what if evangelism were as simple as just walking across the room, or rolling down our window, or turning around in the grocery line? What if it really were that simple? In the first week of this, we talked about the fact that we have a simple opportunity, a glorious opportunity, an opportunity to give the single greatest gift that could ever be given. We can give someone an introduction to their Creator, an introduction to the lover of their souls, an introduction to God Himself. That was week one. Week two, we talked about what it meant to live in 3D. Do you remember the 3Ds? First one was what? I heard it somewhere. Develop friendships. The second D, work with me here. Second D was discovering stories, right? And the third D was what? Okay. Discerning appropriate next steps. So let's review those. I think we need this. A review. First D is develop friendships. Second D is discovering stories. And third is discerning next steps. Okay, that's the three Ds. And we talked about in that framework, we need to be sensitive and allow the other person to share their story. The focus needs to be on letting them speak. And then we depend kind of upon the Holy Spirit to lead the dance, if you will, through this whole process. Last week, a little bit short-term memory. Last week, what did we talk about? Stories, right. Stories. You can speak out loud. You can speak out loud. We talked about stories. We talked about refreshing our understanding of how much weight that our words actually carry. And we talked about being good stewards of telling God's story, but also telling our story, our before and after story. And many of you emailed those to me this week, so much so we almost had a really short sermon. And you're sitting there thinking, gosh, I wish I'd emailed mine to him. All right. But today we're going to talk about the topic of grander vision living. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to give a little synopsis here. I suspect, and I've heard from many of you, that as we've gone through this process over the last several weeks, it's been kind of a necessary wake-up call for a lot of us. You know, because we've come to appreciate the value of taking steps, whether that's to roll down a window or steps, actual steps across the room, or just turning around and see what God is going to do with that. This is not the end. This is a new beginning, hopefully, for all of us as we've gone through this. And as we wrap up this experience, at least in the 4 week focus of it, I think, as I was thinking, what is the best use of our time today? What can we do today? And I think what I want to do is address the question of how can we maintain the momentum that we've gained over the last 3 weeks? How do we do that? As individuals, as a congregation, how do we keep this fire burning in the days and weeks and months and years to come? So instead of it just being kind of a, hey, that was fun, preacher. We'll have to do that again in another 5 years. You know, instead of just a shot in the arm that's temporary, it becomes a change in how we look at the world around us, how we view people, how we view the opportunities that we have to share with people. A complete mind shift and how we access and take advantage of the opportunities the Holy Spirit sends our way. So I want to plant a seed today. I want to plant a seed in your soul that hopefully will take root and it will grow, that it will be an insatiable and an undeniable desire to pursue this thing that we're calling a grander vision. And what does that mean? A grander vision. so that every day in your life is just full of inspiring and unpredictable and mysterious and vibrant and just stimulating manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And you're going, whoa, sounds freaky. But the real life experience of walking daily with the Holy Spirit. And what does that mean? So that's what we're going to pursue today. Sound good? Okay. But before we get started, we're going to go on a vacation. How many of you can use a vacation this morning? Okay. I got all yeses on that. It's an imaginary vacation, so you need to close your eyes. Again, we're painting a picture here, so close your eyes. You can focus better on my words if you're not looking at other things that are going on. Close your eyes. Here's the way it's going to happen. By a stroke of good fortune, you have been given a vacation to the Bahamas. And we're going to a tiny little island on the Bahamas. And upon your arrival, you decide, what shall I do today? I think I'll go snorkeling. So within 20 minutes, you find yourself all decked out. You've got your mask. You've got your fins. You've got your water socks on. You've got your swimsuit. And ladies, because it's a perfect vacation, your swimsuit fits perfectly. And the boat driver has taken you out and he's cut the engine and you scoped out this perfect spot for snorkeling. Can you see the water? Can you see it? And you're in the water now, and you've got this kind of peaceful floating rhythm. Don't go to sleep. A peaceful floating rhythm there on the top of the ocean. The sun is high. There's a few clouds up there, but no rain in the forecast. And the water and the sun, they've kind of collaborated together. So you've got this perfect 75 to 80 degrees that surrounds every fiber of your being. It's perfect. You're there to snorkel, but for right now, you're just kind of taking it all in, relaxing. This serene, kind of stunning falling and cresting of the waves, bright sunshine, peacefulness. So as your eyes are closed, answer this question. Is there anything wrong with this picture? Is there anything wrong with the picture? I don't think so. Of course not. There's nothing wrong with the picture. Somehow you've got a free trip to the Bahamas. It's a beautiful day. You're hanging out, an uninterrupted, calm ocean, the sun, the waves. I mean, that sounds pretty good to me. But what if I were to tell you, and let your mind's eye begin to shift a little, that underneath the water's surface, you're missing out an unbelievable universe of activity. So again, in your mind's eye, I want you to muster up the energy to put your mask on and cup your lips around the breathing tube, roll over onto your belly, kind of kick your legs a little bit, and put your face into the water. What do you see? These new surroundings. And all of a sudden, you have a bunch of new questions that come to mind, like, where'd all these fish come from? And how are these fish so close to me, but yet I didn't feel them? Is that a barracuda? Should I get out of here? All these questions. And as your mind begins to ask these questions, you begin to see new sights and sounds and colors. And you see this school of blue and neon yellow fish. This is unreal. And you look off in the distance and you see a couple of little reef sharks that are kind of going by. And you see this green moray that goes by you and kind of has that smile looking thing to its face. And there's this bright gold wreath, and you look down and you see the fingers in the bottom of the ocean, this wreath that's kind of waving at you almost. And then you realize that's the ocean floor. I can see the ocean floor. Has the water been clear all this time and I just didn't know where to look? So you begin to look back at the surface and you see calm and tranquil. And then you look back down in the water and you see all this activity. You look up and you see smooth, and you look back down and you see all of this breathtaking commotion. So let me ask you, if you had to choose, what would you choose? The calm of the surface or the beautiful commotion of the underwater? Now open your eyes. Look to make sure your neighbor opened their eyes. Okay, good. We're all together now. Here's the deal. Life, from a far different perspective, acknowledging so much so much more than perhaps we even knew was going on. That's what I call living with a grander vision. But what is it? What is it? Well, since we've already kind of approached the sea metaphor, we're going to stay with that. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. If you didn't you bring your Bible, that's okay. There should be a pew Bible there in front of you. And we're going to go to the New Testament, third book of the New Testament, Luke. This is the Apostle Luke's account of his experience with Jesus as he walked with him. And what I want to do this morning, pretty straight format, okay? We're going to read from Luke chapter 5, a story that many of us have probably heard before and hopefully look at it with a little bit different eyes. And then following that, I'm going to give you two observations, and then I'm going to give you one exhortation. Fair enough? Sound like a good deal? Okay. Let's read together from Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, we'll let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. Put yourself in Simon Peter's place. Put yourself there. These guys, I mean, they have just caught the mother load. All right? The Bassmaster thing going up at Lake Hartwell, they got nothing. Nothing compared to what these guys had just landed. We're talking nets breaking, boats sinking, full of fish. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And you know they had to be excited. You know they had to be excited. And Jesus probably laughs as he's trying, perhaps unsuccessfully, to kind of get their focus and their attention in the midst of all of this elation about all of these fish. And I'm guessing what he might have been thinking was, "Hey guys, you know, you think that was something? You think catching a bunch of scaly underwater creatures is fun? Let me tell you, Chief, here's the deal. How about multiplying that joy 10,000 times over? 10,000 times over. That's, catching fish is nothing. Earning a living catching fish, I understand that. I get that. You've got to make a living. I get that. But it's nothing. Instead of doing that, instead of earning a few bucks, just imagine landing destinies, changing futures. Let that sink in. That's where the action is, guys. And I would imagine that Jesus' eyes glistened with enthusiasm as their attention began to focus in on him. And he says, "Now guys, here's it. So far you've been spending your life as fishermen. You've been catching fish. But starting today, right here, right now, you're going to become fishers of men and women. Instead of investing all of your resources, your time and energy in catching those little bitty fish, you're investing now in anywhere from 4'10" to 6'6" fish. I'm asking you to give up everything that you have and everything that you are for the sake of people's souls. Come with me. Come with me and you'll find out what real living, what grander vision living is all about." Now, I don't know about you, but in my estimation of things, supernaturally filling a net with fish, I'm thinking, "Jesus, you know, with all that you had at your disposal, with all the means that you had at your disposal, why fish? What is it about fish? Well, I believe it's because it was perfect for those guys. And I believe that it's perfect for us because I think it teaches us a critical and crucial teaching from Jesus. And it has to do with little fish versus big fish. It has to do with good versus best. You know, from the time that Jesus arrived on the scene to now, Jesus has been asking all sorts of people, whether it's career fishermen, whether it's businessmen, businesswomen, at-home moms or dads, bus drivers, presidents, actors, singers, songwriters, hairstylists, professional athletes, professional chefs, retail managers, preachers, teachers, lawyers, and everybody else. He's been asking them this one question. Are you going to throw your one and only life into pursuing small fish, or will you risk putting your nets out there in pursuit and anticipation of catching human-sized fish? Are you going to dive headlong into the grander vision, or are you going to be one of those who settle for inferior, lesser? I promised you two observations. Here's the first one. First observation is the priority is people. Priority is people. Jesus wanted these three fishermen, and he wants the fine people of College Park Baptist Church to get it, to understand that this life is about people. And in the grander vision living, the priority is about God using us to reach people. He wanted them, and he wants us to prioritize everything such that we can free ourselves up to reach people. That's what we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks. You see, the walk across the room, was it to get a cold beverage? No. The walk across the room was about going to meet a person. As we talked about living in 3D, it was about caring enough about a person to listen to their story. As we talked about stories last week, we talked about telling your story to everyone that would listen. This kind of radical inclusiveness, which means it doesn't matter how they look or how they talk or how they vote or dress. It's about telling your story to people. And so Jesus asked all of us who say we want to be walk across the room people, he asked us, will you live the grander vision? Grander vision, will you live it in your situation? Big fish or little fish? That's the choice. You can catch fish or you can be a fisher of men and women. You can be a successful business person or you can get all over the business of redeeming lives. You can be a wonderful student or you can be a student of people. You can shine as a superstar athlete or a superstar salesman, or you can let your light shine before men. That's the choice. You can catch fish. You can spend all your time catching those little scaly things and turning them in for money. You can do all that, or you can become fishers of men and women concerning yourself with destinies. That's the option. And you say, okay, that all sounds good. But what's the end game? What is Jesus' end game here? Why is he kind of moving us in that direction? I would say, based on understanding of Scripture, the end game for Jesus is he wants us to be fishers of men because that's how his kingdom gets built. Okay? Jesus is saying to his followers then and now, please understand your priorities. Understand the proper priority. The stakes are way too high for you to put anything above people in your list of things to do. Except, of course, your relationship with God. God, your relationship with him, then people, and how you invest in people. Because how you treat people is either a magnet that draws them to God, or it's something that repels them from God because they don't want anything to do with someone that you say you serve. You see, but that's not all. Why should Jesus want us to live the grander vision? Not only because it's the way his kingdom gets built, but also because it's the way our souls get satisfied. Now hear me. When you take up residence in this vibrant, otherworldly life, you know, called the grander vision, you will not be satisfied with floating on the surface. Okay? You will not be satisfied there. What you want to do is get below the surface. You won't be satisfied with catching a few paltry perch like you were before. You'll know that there's something different. You'll want to focus your energy toward something other than amassing a few dollars. Why? Because these things will no longer scratch the soul level itch that we feel. So Jesus knew if you built a lifestyle around accepting people, getting to know people, caring for people, serving people, listening to people, embracing people, befriending people, exposing people to spiritual things, if you will do that, if you will prioritize people, he knows that if you will do that, that we will never, ever crave the old ways again. Our priority is people. It's as simple as that. The second observation is that the focus is on potential. You think about Jesus and these soon-to-be disciples that we read the story about here. Now, they were a couple teenage guys, all right? They were teenage guys, and their first command, they fell just a little bit short of obedient, if you will. You recall the story? Jesus asked them to put out their nets to catch fish, and their response was, certainly, no. Their response was, you know, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. Nothing. Zero. And I think the insinuation was, who are you? We're fishermen here. We're professionals at this. We make a living here. You want us to do what you say, and you're not a fisherman. You've been sleeping, counting sheep, creating sheep, whatever it is you do. You've been doing that. We're the fishermen here. That was kind of the insinuation. But because you say so, we'll do it. You know, that's really not by anyone's standards kind of primo material for the one and only Messiah discipleship thing. All right. These weren't exactly model guys. If a Messiah wanted to go out and pick people to be his disciples. But Jesus saw the potential. His focus was on their potential of disciples to live the grander vision. Jesus looked past the self-centeredness and he saw the potential for servanthood. He looked past the rebelliousness and he saw the potential for righteousness. He looked past the quick temper, especially in Peter's case, and he saw the potential for kingdom building. Now, aren't you glad that Jesus can look past the obstacles and see the potential? If you can't see it in this story, how about in your own life? You know, as you thought about your before and after story this week, and hopefully you did, how much stuff did God have to get through and forgive on the before side? I see your nods. I can nod the same. All of us probably had some pretty ugly before story. All of us could probably have some pretty ugly stories along the way. And that's what God does. He looks past the ugly, he forgives the ugly, and accepts us and embraces us and enfolds us in grace. And I guarantee that he looked past something in every single one of us, myself included. So let me give you an example. There's a guy in Scripture. Christ looked past potential once again, or looked past the ugly once again, saw the potential. This guy's name was Levi. Levi, Matthew. Different names, same guy. And what is his story? It's actually later on in chapter 5. I want to challenge you beginning in verse 27 to read that this week. The calling of Matthew. The calling of Levi. Here's a tax collector. He's sitting at his tax collecting booth. This guy's obviously outside the family of faith. And he told this guy, follow me. Now Matthew's comrades probably said, what are you doing? Leaving a successful business and traipsing out after some homeless rabbi. What are you doing? But Matthew was going to discover what Jesus already knew, that choosing the grander vision over lesser visions would lead to wealth that the world could never understand, nor can it offer. And he said, follow me, to Matthew. And in a flash, this unscrupulous tax collector left everything, including his cash register, and followed Jesus. What did following Jesus mean to Matthew? For business, it meant walking away from his business, his identity, his comfortable routine, not to mention financial security. He walked away from all of those. But it also meant that he would be prizing and prioritizing the very people that he used to swindle. It means that he would be looking for the potential good in people rather than the potential vulnerability that he used to take advantage of. Tax collectors were not the kindest, gentlest people around. They were bottom feeders. They took advantage of people. And now that Christ is in Matthew's life, things are going to change more than he can imagine. And in those early days, though, probably Matthew did not get it. He probably didn't understand the full ramification of what this meant for him. And I don't know if you're in that same boat, if you're sitting there saying, okay, Raymond, this grander vision thing sounds great, but what does that mean? What is it all about? And I think if Matthew were here today, he would kind of give us his story. But let me stop and pause there for just a second and say, I promised you two principles and an exhortation. Two observations and an exhortation. Let's do the exhortation right now. Here's the exhortation. Start small, but start. I think if Matthew were here, that's what he would tell us. Start small, but go ahead and start. Start living. You know, you're on board with this people priority. You get that. You understand potential, and God sees potential. You understand that. But what about right now? What do I do? And again, I think if Matthew were standing here, he'd say, I understand your dilemma. But I think he would go on to tell us what Scripture tells us about how he decided to take a walk. He'd already cleared his plan with Jesus and the disciples. And here was his plan. He didn't know any of the catchy little chorus, praise choruses. He didn't know any of that. He didn't have this public prayer thing down pat yet. He didn't have any of that. He wasn't good at that yet, but he was good at one thing. And that was throwing parties. And some of you are thinking, finally, I've been sitting here for 4 weeks and finally something I'm good at. Throwing a party. Having a party. For the first time, you're thinking, okay, I can do that. And that's the plan that Matthew came up with. A party where he could get some guys together. And he's thinking to himself, what if I take a group of people that are my old tax collecting buddies and I sprinkle in a few of these new Christian guys? What if I do that? And what if the Christian guys actually go across the room and engage my old buddies in conversation? And what if somewhere along the way, one of the old buddies says something about, can you believe the deal with Matthew? What is his problem? What is he doing? And what if one of the Christians has the opportunity to share how Jesus changed his life and how he can change your life? And what if just by throwing a party, some of my old buddies come to know Christ? What if? Wouldn't that be amazing? Just by planning a party and inviting a few people over. You can read that fascinating story. It's in Luke 5. But as I read it, it occurs to me, you know, Matthew could have been absolutely, totally consumed with his new buddies to the point where he left all of his past acquaintances. You get that? He could have become so enamored with the spiritual life that he forgot all about the people that needed to know about Jesus. He could have left them behind. And what would have happened? Probably nothing. In a spiritual sense, nothing would have happened. But instead, he chose differently. He chose to prioritize people. He chose to see their potential. He chose to offer the assurance of Jesus Christ, the hope, a grander vision a different life. I think you could sum it up this way. Matthew had a right view of his role in the lives of his friends. He didn't have all the answers. He didn't have it all figured out yet. But he did have this. He had the hope of heaven, and that's what he offered to his friends. He knew that people, our relationships with people, our relationship with God who created us to reach out to people, that's all that we take from this world into heaven. Amen? That's it. It was the same for him, and it's the very same for us. So here's the invitation. The invitation is something like this. Will you opt for grander vision living, or will you settle for lesser? That's the choice. If you go back to your imaginary vacation, will you settle for calm and peace? Or will you choose the activity underneath the surface? Because as I read Scripture, I don't get that Jesus came for calm. He did not come and minister and die for calm. As I read Scripture, quite the opposite is true. Christ came to bring not tranquility, but upheaval. You know, once you've been wrecked by grace, as the saying goes, once you've been wrecked by broken and submitted yourself completely to God and experienced the joy of that, you understand what upheaval is. It's good upheaval, but it's upheaval nevertheless. And once you start walking with Jesus every day, everything is fair game. Your ways start to His ways begin to infiltrate your ways. His thoughts get into the nooks and the crannies of your thoughts. His desires ooze into your own desires. And from that moment on, you're never the same. That's what grander vision living is all about. Let Him infiltrate everything that you are and everything that you have. We have the hope of heaven. What a magnificent gift we can give. Embrace grander vision living. And a second, maybe part of the invitation is begin making plans to have a Matthew party. Why not? Look around you. Make it fit your circumstances. If you have a pool, why not have a pool party? Maybe wait a couple months, but yeah, that's up to you. If you have an indoor heated pool, invite me. I'll come be a part of that. You know, a pool party maybe. If you live in an apartment complex that has kind of a rec room or something, maybe utilize that resource. If you live near a park, maybe an afternoon picnic. Make it fit your circumstances. And the second thing I would suggest is do like Matthew. Don't invite 37 Christians and 3 non-believers. That doesn't make any sense. They'll be overwhelmed. They'll be ganged up on. That doesn't make any sense. Sprinkle a little salt in there. Have a Matthew party. I believe if you will choose the grander vision, I believe if you will choose that, I know that if you will choose that, you'll never want to go back. Once you experience the colors and the commotion that has purpose, you'll never go back to just calm. As serene as that seems, I believe you will never go back to that. I believe that once you experience catching big fish, you'll never go back to little fish. Let's pray and ask God for His help. Dear Father, we struggle as Your children to understand exactly what it is that day by day we're supposed to do with our hands and our feet so that they can be aligned with our hearts. And we pray now, Father, that You would help our hearts to see very clearly what it is that You desire from us. In the hours and the days and the weeks to come, we pray that Your Holy Spirit would impress upon us without doubt and without confusion exactly what it is that You desire from us. Give us opportunities. Help us to recognize those opportunities for living a grander vision living. Help us not to settle for little fish anymore. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you're not really sure what I'm talking about because you don't have a relationship with Christ, I'd love to talk with you about that. That's the first step, obviously, in this type of living that we've talked about. So I'd be glad to speak with you this morning. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'd love to share with you how you can receive Him to be your Savior and be your Lord. If you are here and you've not been experiencing the kind of living I've been sharing this morning, I want to challenge you. You can certainly do it right where you are. Speak with God. Ask God to help you in your quest for grander vision. See the big picture. You're welcome to come, and the altar will be open here. You're certainly welcome to come pray. If you'd like to come pray that the Holy Spirit will be free to move in this place and to convict hearts and to change minds, I invite you to do that. If you'd like to be a part of this church, we receive members in several different ways. I'd be glad to speak with you about that. But above all else, do business with God. Let Him show you what it is that He desires from you in the days and weeks to come. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that public as we stand and sing together now. I want to say thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for your patience. I know I went a little longer than usual, but had to kind of pull all those pieces together. Amen. All right. I hope it all has made sense for you. And this is not, let's say, the end of this focus. It's a new beginning. I want to invite you back tonight. Jason's going to be speaking in our live service, and we're going to kind of continue a wrap-up of this. And in your small groups this week, you'll be discussing it more. I invite you, if you've not been a part of those small groups, it's not too late. You can stop by the church office, pick up a book, and go ahead and get plugged into one of those this week. So I invite you to be a part of that. Thank you again for being here. Let's ask the Father to help us as we leave from this place. Dear Father, now we pray that You'd be with us and guide us, give us strength, give us comfort, give us Your peace. But Father, stir us to the point, stir our hearts to the point that we want to be used by You. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Jesus, see.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.